Welcome back to the Galveston Experience Podcast. We're episode 92 as we enter the month of July. It's also episode number one for the Scuttlebutt with Mike Dudas, and we'll get to that. But first, a quick look at what's going on at the Galveston Experience Company and this weekend. Of course, it's the 4th of July weekend, but given all the coronavirus issues, there have been a few things canceled. For example, we will not have the parade or the fireworks this weekend, but there are still a number of things going on. You can find them on the Galveston Digital Island Guide. When you go to RadioGalveston.com, just click the link for the digital guide and download it to your phone. It's available in the Apple and the Google stores. And on that calendar, you'll also find things like the free sandcastle lessons happening on Saturday, the Bucket Brigade from the Artist Boat. The Artist Boat also is doing their coastal heritage kayaking adventures and a number of other things planned this weekend. It looks like the weather is going to cooperate, so hopefully you get a chance to get down to the island, enjoy yourself. Galveston's such a special place, and the man who's bringing us the Scuttlebutt, Mike Dudas, has been here for about 30 years, so he's pretty well-connected to people on the island. And in his new podcast, he's going to be introducing us to interesting people, personalities, organizations on the island. Like, this first one's a place that I've driven by a number of times, but I really didn't know what it was. It was the Galveston Seafarer Center. So to learn more about that, let's get the Scuttlebutt with Mike Dudas.
Welcome to this edition of the Scuttlebutt, where we spotlight interesting people, places, and organizations from our great island community. Hopping aboard this episode is Jim Lewis, the manager of the Galveston Seafarer Centers. Welcome, Jim, to the Scuttlebutt.
Thanks for having me on.
So tell us exactly, what is the Galveston Seafarer Center?
It's a place where we provide a safe haven for those that make their living on the sea or have made their living on the sea. It allows people to come in here and relax and just feel welcome and like at home while they decompress from their job.
So the main mission is assisting or helping people of the seas.
Yeah, that's correct. It's anybody that's out there that works on a merchant ship or a fishing boat or the cruise ships or from the Coast Guard. Anyone out there that works on the water that makes money or provides makes their living from on the water.
So you see a wide variety of people of the sea.
Yeah, that's correct. We've had folks in here from all four corners of the globe. It's a very interesting group that comes in here that we meet with. We've had folks here from Australia, Vietnam, parts of Russia, the Eastern Bloc of Europe, South America, Mexico, the United States, Canada. So basically, you name the country, and somebody's probably been through these doors.
And when they come through these doors here at the Galveston Seafarer Center, what will they see?
They're going to see a very bright and clean operation and a place that just makes them feel very welcome when they walk in the door.
And what type of services does the Galveston Seafarer Center provide?
There's an awful lot of services that we provide, and 99% of them are free to the folks that come through the door. But we'll start out with the simple things like free Wi-Fi, free computer usage, free phone. We've got an art center. They can sit down and create artwork if they'd like. We have the ability to provide toiletries for them if they need that. We've also got some snacks and drinks that we can provide for a low-cost fee. We provide calling cards, phone accessories, things of that nature, stuff they might need while they're out on the water. We have donated clothing that we give away for free for anyone that has a need. So just all kinds of services. I forgot the library. We've got a fully stocked book library, paperbacks and hardcovers. The books are free. We've got DVDs that are for free. We've got games here if they want to play games, video as well as board games.
One of the things that you first see when you walk into the Galveston Seafarer Center behind the counter is a mail center. Tell us more about that.
Sure. A lot of these folks like to shop online while they're out at sea, or they've got mail that'll come in. And since they make their living out at the sea, they don't have a home port. We provide the service where we will collect their mail or collect their packages, and when they come in, we'll pass it on to them and for a very small fee. And if they've got return services, they need to be returned back to, say, Amazon or any other vendor, we can provide that service as well.
To the right of the counter, there's looks like a new area, looks like an art center.
Yeah, we've learned over the years that a lot of the folks that come in here are very talented, whether it be with drawing or painting, and a lot of them use that time to just, you know, take their mind off of being at the sea. And so we provide the things like drawing pencils and paints and the tablets for them to create this artwork. And we've put up three different display cases where we show the artwork that these folks have created.
Very creative. I mean, those aren't prints. Those are actual artwork.
Yeah, that's correct. These were made at the hands of the folks that come through the door.
Has the center ever thought about becoming a part of the Art Walk?
As we have renovated the center and created this art center, that's been the talk as we'd like to participate in the future Art Walks.
Gazing around the whole center, there's a lot of entertainment aspects too.
Yeah, we've got a pool table, foosball, there's an electronic piano, we've got guitars, there's a drum, we've got video games, board games, like I said earlier. So there's all kinds of ways for these folks to come in here and entertain themselves. We've got a full bookcase in here as well as another one over in our storage area. All of our books were donated to us from various individuals or the public library. And so we provide those books back over to the seafarers for no charge. We ask them to take them with them, and they don't have to bring them back. They're their books to do with as they please.
And then I see it looks like a newly built computer center.
Yeah, we've got three laptop computers that are logged in, and it gives them access to the internet and allows them to they can Skype home or shop or whatever it is they need to do on a computer.
Your traffic through the center is dependent upon the industry, the maritime industry down at the port, but I know since March there's been little or no activity here. So what have you been doing to keep busy?
You're right. Our foot traffic in here has pretty much dropped down to nothing. So we've taken this time without folks coming in here to basically renovate and clean the center to make it a little bit more modern looking inside and make it a little more inviting than what it was before.
Through the CARES Act, the center was able to secure a PPP loan.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, obviously, as a not-for-profit, all of our money that comes in is based off of donations that come in from individuals and businesses and corporations. With what's going on with the pandemic, a lot of that money has dried up. So for us to be able to continue to provide the services and do the renovations and prepare for when we reopen, we did take advantage of the CARES Act and took a loan out to protect our payroll and our utilities, and that's helped us tremendously.
So that must be really rewarding to know and to be able to tell our listeners in the community that you were able to secure a loan to keep things going here at the center, but that was money well spent because the center used that time to do basically a complete renovation.
Yeah, that's correct. We have not sat here idly with our feet up on the desk. We've been working every day in here to build or reconstruct or clean or paint or buff the floor, or whatever it may be, to make this place as inviting as we possibly can and as comfortable as we can for the folks when they come through the door.
And you told me, too, that the cost of the actual renovation was very minimal just due to the innovation and great thinking of yourself and your volunteers.
Yeah, we've been able to utilize and repurpose a lot of wood that we have taken from out in the alleys that we found that people that throw away, and so we clean it up, and we've been able to repurpose lumber and glass and different display cases and things of that nature. Very minimal cost was spent in this center to renovate it. Yeah, we took the lumber, wood from pallets as well as 2x4s that we found, and we constructed 16 bar stool height chairs that are that have got padded bottoms and padded backs, and an opening at the bottom to set up a backpack or a small suitcase or whatever. But it allows these folks to sit down in maybe a different looking kind of chair than what they're used to, but it's very functional and it's very comfortable.
If you just joined us, you're listening to The Scuttlebutt, and we are visiting today with Jim Lewis, the manager of the Galveston Seafarer Center. I know one of the big missions of the Galveston Seafarer Center is ministry. Tell us a little bit about that.
Certainly, we've got an on-site chapel that's available to anyone that wants to come in and sit down and reflect, have some quiet time, and the things that go along with what you do inside of a chapel. We've also have a port chapel, and Karen Parsons is assigned to the center, and she's been with us for going on almost 30 years. And she spends a lot of time out on the docks ministering and providing services to the folks that aren't able to leave the ships. And it spreads the word of what we do here at the center, as well as provides a good ministry.
Karen Parsons, she's provided by the church, the Archdiocese?
Yeah, that's correct. She's through the Archdiocese of Houston, yes.
And you mentioned that there's a chapel here. Describe that.
We've got a small chapel here. We can close it off. It's got seating for about 25 to 30 people. There's a pulpit in there. And it's an area for, like I said, it's set up for if we wanted to have services in there, we can. but it's also set up for folks to go in individually and have quiet time and reflect and pray and all the things that you would want to do inside of a chapel.
And I know during this time, just due to the restrictions at the dock, kind of prohibits her actually going out on barges and ships or whatever. But I know during times before these extraordinary times, she probably has touched thousands of lives.
Yeah, it's amazing the number of folks that will either stop by here or call or send an email just reflecting on the impact that Karen has made on their lives while they've been out at sea. She's maintained relationships with hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years. And it really bodes well for the Seafarer Center, but it's also nice to see that we touch the base with folks all the way around the globe.
And what type of assistance does she usually provide out there?
She'll go out and obviously provide the normal ministerial services that people may ask for. She'll pray with them. But if they have a need for supplies, like whether it be toiletries or groceries or what have you, if they reach out to her ahead of time, she will pick up supplies and take them out there to the ships for these folks. And then a lot of, around Christmas time, the local churches come by and they build gift packages that'll have books and writing paper and pens and pencils and toiletries, and she'll deliver those kind of like Santa Claus up there. She'll take this out to the folks on the ships to provide them with some goodwill and some much needed items.
And from what I understand too, she's real a true advocate to the seafarers. I know she's gotten involved in activities if one of the seafarers has a dying relative back in their home country. And, you know, as we know with immigration issues and leaving and trying to come back, sometimes that's a sticky situation, and she's assisted.
Yeah, Karen's very involved with these folks, and she is their advocate, and she doesn't take no for an answer. If there's a solution that can be found to help a seafarer, she's going to take care. She's going to do it.
All right, so with every nonprofit, money's important, and I know the seafarers, the Galveston Seafarer Centers, is like most traditional nonprofits that even though your doors are open, that's not how you raise money.
No, that's correct. You know, again, just about every good and service that we provide here is free. So we depend on folks providing donations through our website or through other means to keep us going.
And how has the center's fundraising activities been altered or changed just due to this pandemic?
We had our 12th gala planned for this coming September, and unfortunately we've had to cancel the gala because of what's going on with the pandemic. So the board of directors, we all met and discussed doing a letter writing donation campaign. Those letters will be going out in the next couple of days, just requesting funds from folks that are friends of the center, past donors, what have you. We're also looking into the future of possibly doing an online auction, silent auction, maybe even a virtual gala. So there's a lot of different avenues that we're having to explore to raise funds in a less traditional way.
And from what I understand, these virtual galas, e-auctions, e-galas, that's the new wave.
Yeah, this is a whole new world that we're living in today, you know, with this, what's going on, and there's no telling how it's going to shake out. So we have to adapt and overcome by using all the means that are necessary out there.
Is there any plans to reschedule the traditional gala?
Yeah, we're looking at it's August 28th of 2021. The way it's planned right now, we'll be at the Hotel Galvez, and we're planning to have a formal gala like we've done in the past. So number 12 will be next August.
Past galas, there's always been a community person or group that's been honored. Has that honoree been selected for the next gala?
Yeah, the Bryan Museum Foundation has been selected, and they have accepted our request to be honored, and we're excited to have the Bryan folks recognized at our event.
I noticed out front there's a van, and from what I understand, that was donated in past years, a very nice passenger van by the Moody Foundation. And what type of services does that van provide?
Karen, our chaplain, uses that van quite a bit. She burns the wheels off of it going out to the port delivering goods and services. When she's not using the van, when there is a need, we will take seafarers that are asking, and we'll transport them out to do shopping like at Walmart or Ross or Target or what have you. You know, a lot of times they'll need things that they use in their cabins, whether it could be food, it could be a game, it could be a new phone, whatever it might be. They need the ability to go out and shop for that. Sometimes they don't want to buy it online. They want to touch and feel it. And one other thing to add with this van, we do need volunteers. If there's anybody out there would like to volunteer to come drive the van, we've got a little online course they take. We do the paperwork on that, and then they're all able to drive the van whenever there's a need. So if anyone's out there is interested in becoming a volunteer for us, come over to the Seafarer Center and see me.
And I've noticed a new addition here. It looks like there's some hand sanitizer stations. Tell us about that.
We met with the folks over at Trinity Episcopal Church, and they asked us what there was things we needed to help as we go to reopen in the new world. And we talked about the hand sanitation and all the things that go with that. And they provided funds to us, which allowed us to go over to the clean company over off the church in 25th and purchase the hand sanitation dispensers, the foaming gel, as well as the stands. So we've got five of those placed around the center to help our folks keep their hands as clean as possible.
Also, you told me that the Seafarer Center is partnering with the Blood Center for an upcoming blood drive?
Yeah, I met with Lori Hartrick earlier this week, and we're targeting the last Friday of July to have a blood drive here in the Seafarer Center. We want to be able to give back to the community. There's a definite need for blood and all the products that go with that. So we're going to try to provide the place and the services to do a blood drive.
So if someone wants to be a donor,
send me an email at manager@galvestonseafarerscenter.org, or they can stop by or they can call me at 409-762-0026, and we'll sign them up. And then once we know for a fact that the blood drive is going to occur on that date, we'll follow back up with an email to everyone, letting them know the time and what have you. But it gives a chance for people to come see the center as well as provide blood for the community. We've done a lot of work in here to renovate this place. We want to show it off, and so we want to open the doors to the folks to come. You know, like I said, give blood. Blood donation can save three lives. As well as come see what the work we've done and meet us.
The day-to-day management of the Galveston Seafarer Center is a one-man, one-person operation, and you have not been here very long, correct?
No, I started up towards the middle of January of this year, and I've been here just a little over 5 months. And with the COVID-19 thing going on, I kind of got thrown into the fire here a little bit, but we're doing well, and I really enjoy working here and meeting the folks that come through the door and providing a community service.
Since joining the Seafarer Center back in January as a manager, what's been your biggest surprise about just dealing with the seafarers?
The fact that you've got people from all around the world in all walks of life that come through this door, yet they're very grateful for the services that we provide. They usually walk through the door with a smile on their face. They leave with a smile on their face. They tell us they can't wait to come see us again. And it's just interesting to sit down and have conversations with these people and listen to what they deal with, whether it be at sea or from their home country. And so you get a whole different perspective of what's going on around the world.
I know one day I walked in here, and I guess it was a cruise day or what have you. So there was a lot of seafarers in here, probably a lot of them from the cruise ships, and there was bodies in just about every sea. And I was just amazed at the quiet hum that was going on. Everyone was busy doing something, whether they were playing pool, ping pong, watching TV, a lot of people just surfing on their phone, using the computer. So that must be rewarding just to see the center being totally utilized.
Yeah, you'll look over at one table and there'll be four or five or six crew members sitting around talking to each other, partaking in a little snack and just kind of talking with each other. And then you'll look at another table and the person will be by themselves and they'll be on Skype, talking to their family members at home, wherever that might be. Or you've got a person over on the piano and a person on one of the three guitars, and they're making music. There's people on the video games. So it's all different kinds of activities all going on at one time. And yet you hear the laughter. You know, that's think maybe the most rewarding thing is to listen to these folks just kind of having a good time while they're in here.
To wrap up our time, so once again, if someone wants to volunteer, donate good services, money, or be a part of the blood drive, how do they contact you?
You've got several ways to reach out to me. Obviously, the easiest way is just come through the front door. We're open from 8:30 to 3:30, Monday through Friday right now. You can call me at 409-762-0026. You can email me at manager@galvestonseafarerscenter.org, or you can check us out on our webpage at galvestonseafarerscenter.org.
And the address of the Seafarer Center is 221 20th Street.
Yeah, that's correct. We're at the corner of 20th Street and Mechanic, where the green building with brown doors.
Kind of catty corner across the street from American National, correct?
Yeah, where the big American National office building is right there, and there's also the loft right across the street from us as well.
All right, anything else before we close that you would like our listeners to know about the Galveston Seafarer Center?
If you haven't been here before, you know, you're not sure what we do, now you've got an idea of the services we provide. The doors open every day. Please come in and say hello to me. I'll be glad to take you for a tour. Tell you what we do, and shake your hand, or I guess in today's world I can't shake your hand, but we can bump elbows or something. But just be glad to see you come in through the door and check us out, and then pass the word on to the remainder of the community of what we provide in here for the folks.
You've been listening to The Scuttlebutt. I'm here at RadioGalveston.com. I'd like to thank this particular episode's guest, Jim Lewis from the Galveston Seafarer Center. Again, for further information concerning the Galveston Seafarer Center, go to www.galvestonseafarerscenter.org, or you can call the center and talk to Jim directly at 409-762-0026. If you would like to be a guest on a future Scuttlebutt or feature your organization, please contact us here at RadioGalveston.com. I am Mike Dudas, the host of The Scuttlebutt, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Jim, for being our first guest on The Scuttlebutt with Mike Dudas, who's already lining up his next guest. Next time around, you're going to meet Carol Hodges from the Noon Optimist Club of Galveston. And if you've got a person or organization that you'd like to get The Scuttlebutt on, just get a hold of us at RadioGalveston.com. We are the voice of the Galveston Experience Company, located at 15th and Seawall. Feel free to stop on by and check us out right next to Saltgrass Steakhouse there at the studios of Radio Galveston. We'll even record a little free shout out for you and your business if you'd like. So if you've enjoyed the podcast, we'd love it if you feel we've deserved a 5-star review. Give it to us and tell your friends we're available on all the major podcast platforms. So enjoy your time on the island. Hopefully we'll see you on the seawall, checking out the Seafarer Center, or if nothing else, we'll be looking for you right here next time on the Galveston Experience Podcast.